back to Ephesians 2, verse 12. At that time, you were without Christ. Now, this short text describes the condition of these people before they met the Savior, before they became Christians. But that's not all. It describes the condition of every person here tonight who has not been brought by the Spirit of God to a knowledge of Christ Jesus and His grace. Ye are without Christ. Ye are without Christ. Now, to be without help is a painful experience. I don't know anything about that. Some of you do. To be without friends would be a lonely existence. I'd hate to be without my friends. To be without freedom, to be in prison, to live in a country where I had no freedom would be a terribly difficult life. To be without food, clothing, and shelter would be unfortunate. But it would be better to be without all of these things, without help, without friends, without freedom, yea, without food, clothing, or shelter. It would be better to be without all these things than to be without Christ. For Christ is the rock, and everything else is sinking, shifting sand. Christ is the vine. Apart from Him, we're nothing but withered branches fit for burning. Christ is the water of life. All else is eternal and unquenchable thirst. Christ is the bread of life. Without Him, all else is eternal hunger. Christ is the door. There's no other entrance. Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by Him. To be without Christ is the most horrible experience that a man can possibly have. I want to answer two questions now from this text, and I think they're naturally suggested. Just two things. First of all, what does it mean to be without Christ? What does it mean? Paul says, you were without Christ. What does that mean? And then the second question that I want to deal with is this. Who is without Christ? Who is without Christ? Now, what the first question, what does it mean to be without Christ? Maybe someone right now is thinking, well, suppose I am without Christ. I'm getting along all right. What difference does it make? What's so bad, preacher, about being without Christ? Well, I'll give you four things. To be without Christ is to be contrary to what is being preached today and to what is being taught, and contrary to what people think. To be without Christ is to be absolutely without God. To be without Christ is to be without God. Now, I can make good on that. Look at the 12th verse again, Ephesians 2, verse 12. Paul starts this verse with this statement, you were without Christ. You were without Christ. Now, listen as he continues. You were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. You were strangers from the covenant of promise. You had no hope, and you were what? You know the signs say, smile, God loves you. If you don't have Christ, and I've thought about what I'm about to say. I'm not saying this off the top of my head because I don't have anything prepared to say. If you're without Christ, you're not under the love of God. You're abiding, the Scripture says, and are we going by God's Word or are we going by what we've always thought? The Scripture says you're under the wrath of God. To be without Christ, Paul says, is, as he closes this 12th verse, it's to be without God in this world, without God in this world. That's what he said. You were without Christ, and being without Christ, you were without God. God is not the Father of all men. You would say, but God created us. God created the snakes, but he's not the father of snakes. God created the baboons, but God's not the father of the baboons. And God created men who have fallen and rebelled against him, and Christ said, you are of your father, the devil. But I always thought, but you're not going to be judged by what you think, but rather by what God says. The Scripture says, your thoughts are not my thoughts. As the heavens are higher above the earth, so are my thoughts higher than your thoughts, God says. Let the unrighteous man forsake his thoughts. You're never going to know God till you quit doing the thinking and let God do the thinking. If you're without Christ, you're without God. Jesus Christ is not just a messenger sent from God. Jesus Christ is not just an ambassador that came from heaven to help us understand God. Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. He is God. The Scripture says he is the brightness of his glory and the express image, the exact image of his person. While Thomas said, Lord, show us the Father and we'll be satisfied. He said, Thomas, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. No man knows the Father save the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. He that hateth me, Christ said, hateth my Father. He that hateth me hateth my Father. So I wish to go against the grain tonight of modern thought. I wish to go against the grain of typical teaching. I wish to go against the grain of today's popular preaching. If you're without Christ, you're without God. You're without his love. You're without his grace. You're without his mercy. You're without his presence. You're under the wrath of a holy God. Now, I know people don't like that. They don't like that. You say you won't be popular preachers preaching that. Believe me, I'm not trying to be popular. I'm doing my best to tell the truth. If you're without Christ, and I'm giving you the Scripture, I challenge anybody here. I challenge anybody listening to my voice to tell me I didn't quote the Scripture tonight. If you're without Christ, Paul said, you're without God in this world. And he that believeth not on the Son, the wrath of God abideth on him. And he that hateth me hateth my Father. And no man knows the Father save the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. That's what the Scripture says. And Christ pointed to those religious leaders, and he said, you are of your father, the devil. God is not your father. The devil is your father. And he's a liar from the beginning, and you do his works because you came from him. Now, the second thing, what does it mean to be without Christ? It's serious. It means to be without God. Oh, every man partakes of the mercy of God in some sense. It rains on the just and the unjust. Here's a man, an honest Christian farmer, who's planted some seed. He believes in Christ and he loves Christ. And he's praying that it might rain on his seed. If it doesn't rain, he's going to lose it. The boys down the road are going to have a baseball game. And they're praying that it won't rain. So it doesn't rain, and they have their game, and he loses his seed. Or it does rain, and he gains his seed, and they lose their game. It rains on the just and the unjust. The sun shines on the wicked and the righteous. There's a sense in which all men partake of the common grace of God. God preserves this world for the elect's sake. God sent His Son to save His people. And every ungodly man will partake in some way and benefit some way by the coming of Christ into this world. You're the light of this world. You're the salt of the earth. And when God puts a candle on a hill, it's to give light to His own. But the fellow living next door to his own is going to get some of that light too. And Paul went to a certain city to preach. God said to him, I've got many people in that city. You stay there. And the whole city benefited by the ministry of Paul, even ungodly rulers. Now, the second thing, what does it mean to be without Christ? Secondly, it means to be without hope. Look here at this verse again. You were without Christ, having no hope. Now, what is that? Having no hope. What is the hope of the believer? Well, the hope of the believer is Christ. Colossians 1:27 says, Christ in you. That's the hope of glory. Christ in you. That's the hope of glory. In Christ, we have forgiveness of sins. Out of Christ, there's no forgiveness. Without the shedding of blood, no remission. In Christ, we're accepted. The Scripture says we are accepted in the Beloved. God does not accept me tonight because of what I've done or what I'm doing. God accepts me tonight because Christ came down here in my place and did for me what I couldn't do. He obeyed the law and paid for my sins, and I'm accepted for Christ's sake. Out of Christ, God accepts no man's person. God isn't a respecter of no man's person. He respects Christ. This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. And to be in the Son is to be under the pleasure of God. To be out of the Son is to be under the displeasure of God. In Christ, we have a mediator. I have a priest. I have a priest. The Catholics put much emphasis on the priesthood. Well, I have a priest, but he's not a faltering, fumbling, fallible human being. My great high priest is the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's my mediator. I don't dare go into the presence of the most holy, eternal God without a priest. I don't dare go into the presence of Elohim without a sacrifice. I have a priest, and I have a mediator, and I have a sacrifice. But it's not Mary, and it's not an earthly being. It's Christ the Lord, and He never fails. He always has entrance into the presence of God. Without Christ, you have no mediator, because the Scripture says there's one God and one mediator between God and men. Who is it? It's the man Christ Jesus. In Christ, we look for the resurrection. He said, because I live, you shall live. He said, because I live, because Christ lived, because my Lord went into the tomb. And He won the victory over death and over the grave and over hell and over all the forces of evil. And He came out of that tomb. And He said, because I won the victory, it's yours. But you people without Christ have no hope of the resurrection. No hope. When Christ shall appear, we shall see Him and be like Him. And he that hath this hope purifieth himself. But without Christ, I say unto every person listening to my voice, without Christ, you have no hope. You don't have a beggar's prayer. You don't have a slim chance. Without Christ, you have no hope. Absolutely no hope. The third thing, what is it to be without Christ? Thirdly, it's to be without peace. Now, every person here has within him a conscience. And that conscience has to be at peace with God before you can be happy. There's no way that you can be happy. You can enjoy any satisfaction at all unless that conscience is at peace with God. Repenting will never speak peace to the heart. Praying, going to church, performing good works, these things can never speak peace. I mean real peace to the heart. Guilt is there. It'll always be there because we're always guilty. And as long as that guilt is there, there can be no real peace. Not with God. Not as long as that consciousness of guilt, that sense of guilt, that gnawing, eating sense of guilt, as long as it's there, there can be no peace. No lasting, real peace with God. No happiness. There's only one person who can bring peace to the troubled heart. And he said, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace." He made peace through the blood of his cross. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Peace with God. Where is it? I get so unhappy when I hear people talk about somebody's just died and they say, "Well, he made his peace with God." What did he do? He like got a letter? He made his peace with God. What did he do? He said a little prayer. It made him die easier. Is that the way he found peace? He found peace in the drugs they gave him. That's how he found it. He found peace because somebody told him he's going to heaven when he died. The only real lasting peace is in Christ. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And the only man who has real peace here tonight is the man who has a clear understanding of the payment which Jesus Christ made on the cross for our sins. That brings peace. A religious experience will not give you a lasting peace. Oh, it'll give you a temporary emotional, sentimental feeling, a religious feeling. You just feel so good. You made your peace with God. But it won't last. The only lasting, real peace that a man can have is to every day, every moment of that day, look back to Calvary and say, "He died for my sins. By his death, he put away my transgressions." My heart, you can be at peace with God because you're covered by the blood of Christ. My soul, you can be at peace with God because Christ died for you. And because his death is sufficient to satisfy God's justice and God's righteousness. That's the foundation of peace. You've sinned enough since you came in this auditorium to send you to hell. We not only commit sins of commission, but sins of omission. Not only sins of deed, but sins of thought. Not only sins of action, but sins of attitude. Not only sins because we hate somebody, but because we don't love everybody. Because we don't love God with all our hearts, mind, soul, and strength. But thank God, Christ is my peace. And I can say to my conscience, "Be still." And I can say to that sense of guilt, that awful cloud of guilt that constantly cries to come between me and God, I can say, "Christ put it all away and paid the debt. And I have peace with God through Christ." Now, without Christ, you can't have peace. And then to be without Christ, my friend, what does it mean? It's serious. To be without Christ is to be without God. To be without Christ is to be totally, absolutely without hope. To be without Christ is to be without any lasting peace. And to be without Christ is to be without heaven. A man without a Savior will never get to heaven. A man without Christ could never enjoy heaven, could he? Christ is the song of heaven. Christ is the light of heaven. Christ is the theme of heaven. Christ is the king of heaven. Christ is the essence of heaven. How in the world would a man be happy in heaven? And a man without Christ never would understand heaven. Christ said, you must be born again or you can't see, discern, understand the kingdom of God. Paul summed heaven up in this statement, to be with Christ. That is heaven. To be with Christ. What does it mean to be without Christ? It means to be without God. It means to be without hope. It means to be without peace. It means to be without heaven. Now then, secondly, who is without Christ? I may offend you tonight, but will you be honest? Barnard used to say, honest people don't wind up in hell. It's deceived people. It's people who will not face the truth. It's people who will not let God speak for himself. Everybody's his own preacher. Everybody's his own theologian. Everybody brings his little mold to church, and if the preacher doesn't fit that mold, then he won't listen to him. But I want you to think over what I'm going to say tonight and see if it's not in keeping, not with what Baptists believe, not really interested in that, in keeping not with what you always taught, I'm not interested too much in that, but see if it's not in keeping with what this book says. First of all, let's remember this statement is not my invention. You were without Christ. I didn't invent that statement. These are the words of the Holy Spirit. These are the words of the Apostle Paul. The Scripture says, inspired by the Spirit of God. You were without Christ. Now, who is without Christ? He says somebody here is without Christ. And being without Christ, they're without God in this world. And they're without hope. Now, who is without Christ? Well, first of all, the man is without Christ who has not heard the gospel of Christ. Now turn to Romans 10. Romans chapter 10, verse 13 and 14. The man is without Christ who has not heard the gospel of Christ. The gospel of Christ. He hasn't heard it. He hasn't heard it. You know, actually, one of the men in Lucasville Penitentiary told me in a letter that at one time in his life, he didn't even know who Jesus Christ was. He had heard the name, but he had heard it only as a curse word. He had heard the name Jesus and the name Christ, but he had heard it only as a curse word, and he said, if you had asked me point blank, who is Jesus Christ, I could not have told you who he is or anything about him. I just knew that people said when they matched their finger, Jesus Christ. And that's all I knew. There are people in Mexico who know nothing about him. There are people in Spain and Russia and China, and these people who've never heard the gospel are without Christ. One lady said not long ago, said, well, you ought not send missionaries to those people and try to change their religion. Leave them alone. Leave them alone, they'll go to hell. For a man who hasn't heard the gospel is lost. He's without Christ. Now listen, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they've not heard? My friends, an unknown Savior is no Savior. You can't trust an unrevealed Christ. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We know that. Whosoever shall call not upon the name of any Lord or a Lord, but the Lord. Whosoever shall call upon the name of him who is the Lord, the man of God's own choosing, the covenant redeemer, the effectual redeemer, the redeemer who came down here and by his death put away our sin, the redeemer who's the mediator, the victorious mediator at God's right hand, a man in trouble, in sin, in need, cries for mercy to the Lord, and the Lord will save him. But now, how are they going to call on him if they don't believe in him? And how they're going to believe on him if they've never heard of him. All who have not called on Christ are lost, right? All who have not believed on Christ are lost, right? All who have not heard of Christ are lost. That's right. If they haven't heard, they certainly haven't believed. And if they haven't believed, they haven't called. And if they haven't called, they aren't saved. And if they aren't saved, they aren't going to glory. Scripture says this is life eternal, that they might know the only true God and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. That's life eternal. So a man who does not know him does not have life eternal. Doesn't say this is life eternal that they might know a God. It says that they might know thee, the only true God. Now secondly, follow with me now, stay with me. A man is without Christ and therefore without hope, without God, without peace, without life, if he's never heard the gospel. Best thing you can do for a man is tell him the gospel. Secondly, a man is without Christ who has no heart faith in Christ. Now we're coming down closer home now. It's possible for a man to know about Christ in his head, to know facts about him. You say, I'm not like that man in jail that wrote to you. I know who Jesus Christ is. I believe in, what do they say in the Articles of Faith, in the Apostles' Creed? I believe in Jesus Christ, who was born of the Virgin Mary, was suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. You can learn those words without having learned Christ. There are people who were brought up saying that ever since they were able to talk. And they have never, they can recite the Articles of Faith, but they have never been brought to heart faith. And the Scripture says, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be accursed when Jesus comes. The Scripture says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus to be Lord. How does a person confess Christ? He confesses Christ by following the Lord in baptism. He confesses Christ by confessing publicly before people that Christ is his hope. He confesses Christ by a life of obedience, a life of faithfulness. He confesses Christ by standing when Christ is attacked or when his gospel is questioned, by standing up for that gospel. That's confessing Christ. And if thou shalt confess Christ with thy mouth and believe in thine heart, God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Salvation is not in a feeling, it's in a person. There are times when I am on the mountaintop and there are times when I'm in the valley. But Christ is the same, yesterday, today, and forever. He's at the right hand of God. He's never in the valley. He's never on the mountaintop. He's always at the right hand of God. Same place. There are times when I feel like that I am walking with God. There are other times when I feel like God wouldn't walk with me. But then I have to remember Christ is at the right hand of God and I'm seated in Him. I am accepted in Him. I love Him. I believe on Him. He's my hope. He's my refuge. He's my shepherd. He's my resting place. Christ at the right hand of God. It's not just a head faith. It's a heart knowledge. And a man is without Christ who does not have that heart faith. That heart faith. That confidence in Christ. Now, thirdly, a man is without Christ who's never heard the gospel. A man is without Christ who never has in his heart intelligently and consciously and lovingly received Christ to be his Lord and his Savior. Christ is my hope. Man can't put that there. It has to be revealed by the Holy Spirit. And once revealed, nobody can take it away. But a man is without Christ, thirdly, when the work of the Spirit of righteousness cannot be seen in his life. Now, there are multitudes of religious people in this condition right here. They know who Jesus Christ is, at least in their heads. They have made some kind of public commitment and some kind of public statement, and they've united in some way being identified with a local congregation or denomination or church. They say they believe the Bible. They go to their places of worship. They teach Sunday school. They want to be married in the church building by the preacher, and they want to be buried in the church building with all the church ceremonies, and they'd be offended if you questioned their Christianity. But where is the work of conversion to be seen in their lives? Huh? Where is the fruit of the Spirit? Where is the new birth? Where is the holiness of God? Where is the faithfulness? Where is the truth? Where is the love? Where is the compassion? The answer comes, well, it's not there. Well, then they're without Christ. For the Scripture says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. He's a new creature. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. If any man say he loves God and hates his brother, he's a liar, God said. Christ said, you are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. A man who knows Christ, who is one with Christ, will be one with the mind of Christ. You're not going to find a man who is one with Christ rejecting the Word of Christ. He's going to say, speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. His heart is going to be open to receive the Word if he's in Christ. You won't find a man rebelling against the words of his Master, will you? If Christ is his Master, he will receive the words of Christ. They hear my voice, Christ said, and they follow me. They love my Word. A man who loves Christ loves his Word. He loves his gospel. He loves his church. He loves his people. A man who knows Christ will strive to be like Christ. He will say with David, I will be satisfied. I'm not satisfied, but I will be when I awake with his likeness. A man who knows Christ will love Christ, and he'll love Christ's people. By this shall all men know you are my disciples, if you love one another. A man who loves Christ and who knows Christ will delight in the law of Christ. I delight, Paul said, in thy law. I delight after the law of God in the inward man. I delight in it. I thank God for it. A man who knows Christ will manifest the fruits of the Spirit. He will manifest the fruit of joy, the fruit of faith, the fruit of humility, the fruit of meekness, the fruit of gentleness, long-suffering, temperance, if he knows Christ. A man who knows Christ will look forward to being with Christ. John Bunyan wrote these words, the river of death has been a terror to many. Yea, the thoughts of it often frightened me. But now, in Christ, I, the chief of sinners, stand easy. I see myself at the end of my journey. My toilsome days are ended. I'm going to see that head which was crowned with thorns, and that face which was spit upon for me. I've lived my days by hearing and faith, and now I'm going where I shall live by sight and be with him whose company is my delight. I have enjoyed hearing my word, my Lord, spoken of, and now I'm going to see him. I have seen the print of his shoe on this earth, and now I'm going to sit at his feet. I've read his word Now I'm going to hear His voice. I have beheld His world, beautiful though touched by sin. I'm going to dwell in His world where sin can never enter in. I have worshipped and adored His sinless character and His holy bearing, and now I'm going to be like Him. Who is as rich as I? Who is without Christ? The man is without Christ who's never heard the gospel. The man is without Christ who's heard it but who hasn't believed it. The man is without Christ who has not believed it to the salvation of his soul and the renewing of his will and to the washing of regeneration and to the indwelling in his heart of the Holy Spirit and unto that striving to be like his Lord. He's without Christ. And without Christ, he's without God and without hope and without heaven. Our Father, we pray for the application of Thy Word to these hearts of ours. Let us not hear the gospel in word only, but let us hear it in power, in the Holy Ghost, in much assurance. Our Father, impress upon us, as never before, the vanity of life. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. There's nothing here that shall not pass away. Only that relationship with which we have in Christ, and that relationship which we have with Christ and with one another because of Christ. We are the children of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but when He shall appear, we'll be like Him. We are the sons of the living God. We are a family. We are in Christ together, redeemed, and we shall ever be in Christ. And cause all of us to be made more conscious of that than ever before, that we might number our days and apply our hearts to wisdom. Whatever the cost, let us be willing to forsake friends, family, wealth, this world, popularity, whatever comes between us and our Lord, let us be willing to lay it aside that we might know Christ, that we might be found in Him, not having our own righteousness, but that righteousness is which is Thine in Christ the Lord. Receive us in Him, our Father, love us in Him, cleanse us in Him, because it's in His name we pray. Amen.